In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the shadow of the largest mass killing in the history of American history last Sunday night and early Monday morning, the appointed gospel for this day gives us an insight into God's perspective, His view of our world, of our troubles, His view of evil and of our sufferings. When everyone is desperately searching for a reason, for some explanation for the aimless violence we witnessed in Las Vegas, we look to God, who alone is Lord over all, the good and the bad, the joyful and the tragic, who alone can help us understand how we are to deal with especially the evil days. It seems that the wish and hope of the Apostle Paul today continues to come true. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. As the church year is coming to an end, we are reminded of the last days of our Lord's earthly ministry. Opposition and even the threats against his own life were quickly increasing. And though today we hear Jesus deliver a parable, it's not that difficult to figure out. He addresses his accusers, even bringing the verdict of their condemnation out of their own mouths. But to begin, he brings to mind the ancient word of God's love, his saving work in the world, in the metaphor of a vineyard. We heard Isaiah sing, "Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard." And then he speaks of God's loving plan of salvation for the whole world, which had been devastated by sin and death and the devil. "My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it and with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it." In other words, God has done absolutely everything needed, everything even beyond our ability to construct to bring us to life. And then he says, God looked for a good result for his labor. He looked for it to yield grapes. Today's psalm paints the same picture. God bringing a vine out of Egypt, driving out the nations, planting a vine, clearing the ground for it. There is only one problem. When I looked for it to yield grapes, why? Why did it yield wild grapes? And there's the question we've heard echoed every day for the past week and at other times of tragedy. Why? There is an answer. Good grapes are for making good wine. Wild grapes are good for nothing. I looked up wild grapes on the internet. I don't know anything about grapes. And found this advice, quote, "Make sure you rule these out. None of them are edible and some are quite poisonous." And then it lists Virginia creeper and Canada moonseed as examples. Wild grapes kill. Wild grapes in the metaphor of a vineyard is to remind us of how sin has infected and killed 100% of mankind, the truly largest mass killing in the history of the world. So it's not unrelated for Jesus to introduce killing into his parable. The tenants killed the master's servants. All mankind are the tenants of God's good creation, and those of the house of Israel in a special way. Nevertheless, sin has turned us into wild grapes. Each of us created by God for his good purpose of life, but all of us ruined, incapable of life, poisoned from the beginning, ending only in death. Worse than that, it is because of the fallen, sinful nature of man that all manner of evil rules the day. Remember St. Paul's list in Romans chapter 1? Speaking of all mankind, he writes, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give their approval to those who practice them." Our first observation must be that the same evil that we saw perpetrated in Las Vegas exists also in us, in each of us. Wild grapes kill. The amazing thing is, the thing over which we are to marvel, as the psalm reminds us, the Lord's doing is marvelous in our eyes, is that through it all, in spite of it all, God still loves us. God loves the world. And we're told that he loves the world so much, as the parable said, that he sent his son. Finally, the master of the vineyard sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." And that was his hope. That was his love. But actually, he knew they wouldn't. "Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance," they said. But even this evil didn't make God's loving plan backfire. Mysteriously, God used the very evil that destroyed even his only begotten son to be destroyed itself, because it lashed out against the Holy One, the very one who it could not destroy, the Lord of life. By his death, he destroyed the one who has the power over death, that is, the devil, Hebrews 2:14. The point is that while wild grapes kill, God loves still. Even in the face of horrendous evil, the word of God through the Apostle Paul still stands. What then shall we say to those things, these things? If God is for us, as he surely is, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or a wild grape on the 32nd floor of a hotel? As it is written, "For your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How can the apostles say that? How can we believe that? More than conquerors? Martin Luther addressed himself to the suffering of the Christian in a sermon preached on the Saturday before Easter in 1530. He began with that Holy Week theme of the suffering of Christ. Christ, indeed, did not need to suffer for himself, but we and the whole human race needed this suffering. His suffering, Luther says, is an example which we are to follow in our suffering. Our suffering does not earn the least merit before God, but we should suffer after Christ that we may be conformed to him. For God has appointed that we should not only believe in the crucified Christ, but be crucified with him. The promise is that God will turn and transform our suffering in Christ to our advantage. Christ promised, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." As true today as it was last weekend. Luther calls it the Christian art. The Christian art, which we must all learn, the art of looking to the Word and looking away from all the trouble and suffering that lies upon us and weighs us down. Looking to the Word. This, then, is the true art, that in suffering and cross we should look to the Word and the comforting assurance and trust them. It is as if he were saying, "Danger and terror will surely hit you if you accept my word, but let it come. This will happen to you because of me. So be of good cheer. I will not forsake you. I will be with you and will help you. No matter how great the affliction may be, it will be small and light for you if you are able to draw such thoughts from the Word of God." Therefore, Luther concludes, in affliction, every Christian should so arm himself that he may defend and guard himself with the fine, comfortable assurances which Christ our dear Lord has left us when we suffer for his word's sake. Still true, wild grapes kill. Still even more true, God loves still. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.